The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 14, text number 26, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 1st, 2009, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So, another wonderful, wonderful opportunity we all have tonight. By the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, we have the opportunity to enter into the spiritual existence. Simply by absorbing ourselves in the wonderful nectarian teachings of His Divine Grace. Who is the topmost revealer of Krishna's teachings. In the modern age. Tonight we will read from chapter 14, text number 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Manchayo vyabhicharena. Bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samatichyaitan. Tamabhuyaya kalpate. Manchayo vyabhicharena. Bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan tamatit yaitan. Tamabu yaya kalpate. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. This verse is a reply to Arjuna's third question. What is the means of attaining to the transcendental platform? As explained before, the material world is acting under the spell of the modes of material nature. One should not be disturbed by the activities of the modes of nature. Instead of putting his consciousness into such activities, he may transfer his consciousness to Krishna activities. Krishna activities are known as bhakti yoga, always acting for Krishna. This includes not only Krishna, but his different plenary expansions, such as Ram and Narayan. He has innumerable expansions. One who is engaged in the service of any of the forms of Krishna or of his plenary expansions is considered to be transcendentally situated. One should also note that all the forms of Krishna are fully transcendental, blissful, full of knowledge, and eternal. Such personalities of Godhead are omnipotent and omniscient, and they possess all transcendental qualities. So, if one engages himself in the service of Krishna or his plenary expansions with unfailing determination, although these modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome, one can overcome them easily. This has already been explained in the seventh chapter. One who surrenders unto Krishna at once surmounts the influence of the modes of material nature. To be in Krishna consciousness or in devotional service means to acquire equality with Krishna. The Lord says that His nature is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. and the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme, as gold particles are part of a gold mine. And thus, the living entity in his spiritual position is as good as gold, as good as Krishna in quality. The difference of individuality continues. Otherwise, there would be no question of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means that the Lord is there, the devotee is there, and the activity of exchange of love between the Lord and the devotee is there. Therefore, the individuality of two persons is present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual person. Otherwise, there would be no meaning to bhakti yoga. If one is not situated in the same transcendental position with the Lord, one cannot serve the Lord, the Supreme Lord. To be a personal assistant to a king, one must acquire the qualifications. Thus, the qualification is to become Brahman, or freed from all material contamination. It is said in the Vedic literature, Brahmaiva san brahmapyeti. One can attain the Supreme Brahman by becoming Brahman. This means that one must qualitatively become one with Brahman. By attainment of Brahman, one does not lose his eternal Brahman identity as an individual soul. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Parakamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa Sangra Jata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitantam Sajiva Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishankan Vitamscha. So, there's two different kinds of devotional service. Devotional service within the modes of nature and devotional service beyond the modes of nature. Which one do you think is more ecstatic? Yeah, number two, that's right. Second option. So, at the present moment, we are trying to render devotional service within the modes of nature. Sometimes we're in the mode of goodness, we're feeling pretty enlivened. Sometimes in the mode of passion, we have all these different desires. And then when we see our desires aren't getting fulfilled, we become depressed, we enter into the mode of ignorance. All in the name of devotional service. So, that's not the standard. You
това не е стандарт.
This verse is the standard.
Това, което се описва в този стих, е стандарта на правилното служение.
Full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances.
Пълно предано служене, без прекъсване всички обстоятелства.
In other words, at every minute we have a choice, Krishna or Maya.
С други думи, във всеки миг ние имаме избора между Кришна или Майя.
Many times we opt for Maya instead of Krishna.
Много често ние избираме Майя вместо Кришна.
Because we are influenced by the modes of nature.
Защото сме под влиянието на гуните на материалната природа.
But if we can weed out all of the bad choices we make.
Но ако можем да отсеем всички лоши избори, които правим,
of choosing Maya over Krishna,
които избираме Maya вместо Кришна,
then we can achieve what's described in this verse.
Тогава ще е възможно да постигнем това, което се описва в този стих.
Full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances.
Или непрекъснато в всички обстоятелства.
This will bring us to the level of Brahman. And Srila Prabhupada points out, if you want to serve Brahman, you have to become Brahman. Not that you merge and lose your individuality. But that you become fully spiritualized. You leave behind all material tendencies. The gross ones and the subtle ones. That takes training. That's why one needs a spiritual master. It takes practice. That's why we rise early in the morning and we chant 16 rounds. That's why we follow regulated principles. Because by doing these without fail, we enter into this Brahman platform. We become fully qualified to become an eternal associate of Krishna and his eternal pastimes. So, how to make that transition, that's the most important thing we should all be trying to understand. We have to become flawless in our execution of devotional service. It's understood a neophyte will make mistakes. Just like a little child learning to walk. It's understood he will trip and fall. But do we expect a 50-year-old man to still be crawling on his forehand, his hands and legs? 50-year-old man? No, one should learn to walk. So in Krishna consciousness, one should learn to walk without falling, how to walk without falling down. It's not an acceptable standard to keep falling down from the practice. Just as it's not an acceptable standard for a little child to grow up and still be crawling around and not walking on two legs. Just as the child takes training from the parents how to walk on two legs. The neophyte devotee takes training from guru and Vaishnavas how to become steady in Krishna consciousness. How to engage without falling down. Either in a gross way by violating the principles of no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Or in more subtle ways, by breaking the nama-params. We are not only obliged to follow the four regular principles. We are also obliged to avoid the ten nama-params. This is why Prabhupada wanted at the initiation ceremony the ten nama-parad should be described. Actually, does anybody here have a hard time walking on two legs? Does anyone find it difficult? But still, you're doing it with the help of you. It's an example, you understand. It is not difficult for us to walk on the two legs. Similarly, it is not difficult to achieve what is described in this verse. It's not some impossible thing. It's simply a matter of taking the training from those who are already doing this. You take training from them how you can also do it. That's a simple thing. All you have to do is follow their instructions. Just like baking a cake. If you follow the recipe, you'll get a good cake. Put this much flour, this much oil, this much sugar, you see, this much baking powder, this much milk. You bake it for so many minutes at such and such a degrees. And then you get a first-class cake. So to become a fixed-up, solid devotee, as described here, is no more difficult than baking a cake, actually. The only thing that holds us back is we are proud. So why should I follow this recipe? I would concoct my own recipe. Will you get a good cake? You'll probably get a bunch of goo in the bottom of the pan. Useless goo. You know what goo is? Yes. And it's just like sludge or mud, like mud, yeah. A bunch of mud in the bottom. In other words, it doesn't rise up and become like a sponge, you know. So all you have to do is follow the recipe strictly. Every ingredient, every direction, do exactly what the recipe says. So in this way, if you will follow the bhakti recipe given by Krishna, at each step in the recipe you do exactly what the cookbook says. Don't concoct anything. Keep it as it is. Bhagavad Gita as it is. The result will be you'll transcend the modes of nature. You'll actually do it. You'll actually be situated beyond the clouds of illusion. Just like taking off on an airplane on a nasty, gray, ugly day, penetrating through the clouds in a beautiful sky, blue sky with the sun shining. Everything will be beautiful for you. Everything will be wonderful. There'll be no anxieties. And quickly you will regain the association of Krishna. You'll feel so happy. You'll feel as if you're already in the spiritual existence, in the spiritual sky. So do you think it's worth strictly following the recipe? Giving up the false pride that I am great? I'm Mr. Hot Stuff. Think it's worth it? Do you? Yeah. So will you do it? Yes? Very good. So now I expect you all to become pure devotees very quickly. No more mode, you know, in the modes, devotees in Sophia. You should all become exemplary Vaishnavas. So, I'm asking now if there's any questions. Yes? You can drink the water after the class. You don't, unless you're speaking, your throat, you're not speaking anything. No need to sit in the water and drink in class and drink water. Unless you're giving, if you're speaking or translating, it's okay. But to sit here and hear, you don't need to keep drinking water. Not necessary.
Her question is: you gave the example of cooking the cake and that we have to follow the recipe, and she's asking whether is there difficulty arising from one's conditioning to learn the recipe and remember it so one can apply it. Is it that the conditioning of a person, for example, his age, we know that when one is younger, he could learn.
Yeah, if one is proud, it's difficult. Prabhupada said it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. So if my habit is to do things my own way and not follow the recipe, then it'll be very difficult. So, the spiritual master has to chastise such a disciple. Again and again and again. Until they finally get it through their thick skull. And they should follow exactly what the recipe says. Next question. Yeah.
Той от него и ради и Кришна. Значи ли това, че ние Srila Prabhupada mentions that one can choose which
experience. You better start over again. You got drowned out.
Srila Prabhupada says that one can choose to which expansion of Krishna to render service.
Yeah.
And but Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he's the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Does it mean that by serving him we are serving Radha and Krishna? Does it mean that by serving him, Lord Chaitanya?
By serving Lord Chaitanya, you're serving every incarnation of God. Lord Chaitanya worship is the perfect worship for the age of Kali. Any other questions?
I believe that it is the next verse which says, describes this platform of Brahman. And it is said, Mat Bhaktim Labhate Param. I was speaking again and then.
I'll let him say it again because my hearing is rather weak.
There is another verse in Bhagavad Gita. I don't know. Yeah, it is described that the Brahman platform is described.
Yes, that's 1854. Yeah.
It is described that when one achieves this platform, he does not lament for something or hanker.
That's right.
Yeah. And then,
Krishna says, Mat Bhaktim Labhate.
In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Yeah.
So he was wondering about the difference between the devotional service which is described is under the modes of nature and the devotional service which is above.
Yeah, there's it's called the Shuddha Sattva platform. That means completely free from the influence of the modes of nature. So when one becomes completely free from the those modes, as described here, and as described in chapter 18, text 54, from that point, then you can engage in, you can be fully absorbed in devotional service with nothing to hold you back. You won't lament about anything. That's talking about sense gratification. such a person laments bitterly to see the fallen conditioned souls entangled in karma chakra. It's not that he becomes free from emotions. He has full awakening of transcendental emotions. That means no hankering or lamenting for his own sense gratification. That's what it means. He becomes fully equal to all living entities. He becomes absolutely ecstatic. His happiness comes from within, his relationship with Krishna. Doesn't depend on anything in this material world. He can be praised, he can be spat upon, it doesn't matter. That's called Brahma-Buddha. Does that answer your question?
Second part is this devotional service which we render under the modes of nature, is it equally satisfying to Krishna?
No. The more you become pure, the more you satisfy Krishna. That doesn't mean it's not satisfying. It's like the parents are very happy to see the little child learning how to walk, even if he's stumbling. They're very happy. But have you seen that photograph of Prabhupada when that little boy Bridge learned how to walk? Have you seen that photograph? Prabhupada was staying at the home of Sally and... what was his name? Husband's name?
Agarwal.
First name? I forget his name. Mr. and Mrs. Agarwal. Mohan, I forget his husband's name. Gopal, maybe. I forget the husband. Anyway, he was staying at the Agarwal's home. And when the little boy Bridge, when he learned how to walk, Prabhupada was there. There's a picture of Prabhupada smiling, very, very happy to see he finally learned how to walk. You see, Prabhupada had a huge grin. See, he was so happy to see the little boy learned how to walk now, you see. So the parents are happy to see the child's trying to learn. But when the child masters the art of walking, oh, then the parents become so happy. That is the greatest happiness. So Krishna is pleased by our, he's very happy by our endeavor to become perfect. But when we become perfect, then his happiness will increase by millions and billions of times. And because our happiness depends on his happiness. You can just imagine how happy the devotee will feel when he achieves pure bhakti. It's indescribable happiness. The Buddhists are very fond after nirvana. But the happiness experienced by the pure devotee is called, in the Bhagavatam, nirvana vilambitani. That happiness which makes the happiness in nirvana very puny and insignificant by comparison. Any other questions? Yeah.
You mentioned that on the Brahma Buddha platform, the pure devotee sees all living entities equally. What does it mean practically?
That he is what?
The pure devotee sees all living entities equally.
Yes.
What is it practically?
He sees everyone as Krishna's part and parcel. And he endeavors to serve every living entity, to help them in their service to Krishna. That is the meaning of samak sarveshu bhuteshu. Next question.
If we have to draw a line of our progress in Krishna consciousness, so is it like going up and down and at the same time going down? Or it can be just like this without any fall down, any like?
What is the question?
If we have to draw a line of our progress in Krishna consciousness, will it look like ups and downs? And
that depends on you. Each individual devotee draws his or her own line. I hope yours will be going up. I pray that it will. I want to see you become a pure devotee, Guru Bhakti. No more nonsense. Next question. Yeah.
Possible for a staunch atheist, if at some point he start believing in Krishna, in within one lifetime to become so perfect?
Yes.
No.
Why not? Krishna's mercy is unlimited. If that atheist, if he can grab the mercy of Krishna, he can achieve pure bhakti in one lifetime. Next question. One question. And then some of the others have questions too.
I have heard that when we are on book distribution, when we are distributing the books, even though we are under the modes of nature.
How you can be under the modes when you're distributing books? That if you fully absorb yourself in book distribution, you that situation you beyond the mode. So you want to get out of Maya, go out and distribute books. Krishna gives special mercy to those who go out and preach. Nachautas man manusheshu kashchid yatat kashchin. Nachautas man manusheshu. Yeah, I still haven't memorized it. I'm trying to learn that one. It's a good verse. There's no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be anyone more dear.
Krishna
says positively, if you fully absorb yourself in preaching work, Krishna will give you special mercy. He'll very quickly pull you out of the modes of nature. Prabhupada told us after the marathon back in the 70s, we really worked hard that marathon, distributed books. When it was over, he sent us a nice letter out. He described the devotees who had done the marathon in this way. Mahatmanas tumang partha daivim pakritam ashrita bhajantyananya manaso gajabhutadam avyayam. Those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They fully engage themselves in my devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So if you will absorb your heart in giving Krishna to others, Krishna will very quickly elevate you to the Brahman platform and to pure bhakti. Preaching is the fast track. But what if I'm a house owner, I have a job, I have a family, how will I preach? Then serve the devotees who are preaching. That will give you the same benefit. Other question? Yes.
Is it possible a situation to arise which is beyond your karmic conditioning? Which is beyond the conditioning of a person, of his karma? Is it possible a situation to arise? For example, he says that someone with a demonic nature to bring you down to the platform of...
No, nothing can happen to you beyond your karma. And your karma, actually, if properly utilized, every bit of your karma you can utilize to advance in Krishna consciousness. Whether you use good or bad karma, you can use all of it. Just like a businessman, when the prices go up, he sells. When the prices go down, he buys. And this way he's always expanding his business. It doesn't matter if it's an up economy or a down economy. So, the devotee, whether he's getting good karma or bad karma, he utilizes all of it in Krishna's service. And this way he's constantly advancing in Krishna consciousness. Any other questions? Yeah.
Продължение на предишния въпрос. Познавам много предано отдадени, които според мен са достигнали ниво на Брама Бута, а не са добри книгоразпространители. Просто няма дар слово, пръгнина, няма може би тая енергия. Какво да направите?
In continuation of the previous question, he knows many devotees. In his opinion, they are on the Brahma Buddha platform, but they are not engaged in.
Are you on the Brahma Buddha platform?
No.
How do you know they're on the Brahma Buddha platform? How do you know?
He thinks that all persons around him are on the Brahma Buddha platform.
Humility is nice, but you have to be realistic also. Not that everybody is Brahma Buddha. You can't be a teacher if you think everybody is Brahma Buddha. One has to learn to make distinction. Next question, yes.
Also in relation to his previous question, mm-hmm. he remembered that Krishna he is not under the laws of karma, but mm-hmm. Sometimes he's also harassed by demonic persons.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore he is asking, is it possible beyond the law of karma to for a person to get into a situation when he is influenced by some getting some demonic influence?
No, as long as you're a conditioned soul, everything is happening by karma. You and Krishna are not in the same platform. Next question.
It is said that Krishna's mercy is causeless, but is this mercy, if we receive it, is part of our karma?
No, mercy has nothing to do with karma. Mercy is beyond karma. So if one has to, if one takes advantage of the mercy, then you become liberated from karma chakra. It's not that one gets mercy according to one's karma. It's causeless mercy because there is no karmic cause for it. It is simply good fortune. So if one is fortunate to get the mercy of the pure devotee, and one takes advantage of it, then he can become delivered from karma. Chapter. Yeah.
If we say that Krishna's mercy is causeless, why is it so that some living entities are receiving it and others are not? What is a criteria?
Why do you think they are not receiving?
Just a matter of time to receive it.
Everyone is getting Krishna's causeless mercy at every minute. Some are taking advantage, some are taking advantage, but most are not taking advantage. Do you think Krishna would ever be cruel to someone? Krishna is giving his causeless mercy to every living entity at every minute. Who will take advantage of it, they become pure devotees. Those who do not, they remain in the modes of nature. So, our time has run out. We can stop here. Raja Vidya, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.